May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 444. Defiled I am indeed, defiled throughout by sin. Thy purple fountain, Lord, I need to wash a leper clean. The fountain open stands, yet on its brink I dwell. Oh, put me in with thy own hands, and that will make me well. Hymn 444.
Read from God's holy word, Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, we'll read to the end of verse 31. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thine hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water, at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. May God bless the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Most kind and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we seek to draw near to thee once more in prayer. Lord, thou hast favoured us in bringing us into thy house this day. Oh, we thank thee for this returning day of rest and all that privilege of being enabled to enter into thy courts. Oh, may it be our desire to worship thee in spirit and in truth. May there be a true sense of our unworthiness before thee, and a sense of thy majesty. And may true worship come from each, we pray. But Lord, we ask great things, for we are poor, needy sinners. We have no ability in ourselves to worship thee. Oh, our help must come from thee. Thou art the source and giver of all good things. Oh, we would pray then that thou would apply that precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus Christ into our souls and sprinkle our hearts, and that under that blessed influence we may worship thee. Lord, we're seeking to pray unto thee. Lord, we're conscious of our many failings. We're conscious, Lord, that we seem to be back again with the same sins, the same failings, the same needs and wants. Lord, we look back over the past week and there's more that we've done contrary to thy law, more to mourn over. There's the hardness, the coldness, the lifelessness. Oh Lord, how often our hearts seem lukewarm or even cold. Oh, then do come and breathe that breath of life into each, that thou kindle the flame. And Lord, if there are those here who have yet to feel anything in their hearts, yet to feel a going out after thee, yet to see any beauty in thee, yet to feel a need, a want, yet to know the need of a hiding place, oh then remember them, Lord, and meet with them this day, that they may be stopped, that this may be a day to look back on, a day to remember, a day to praise the Lord for. This is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. May there be that good things, those good things done this day, in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. May there be honour and glory and majesty and worship and thanksgiving. May the crown be placed upon thy head. Lord, we have many needs. Oh, do come and supply our every need. May we be given a view of thy beloved Son and see our every need met in him. May we see his suitability. May we see him making up where we come so far short. May we view him as the only living way. We do pray that thou grant us each a spirit of true confession of our sins, or that thou work in our hearts, cleanse the temple of our hearts. May there be that driving out of Satan. May we lay all before thee in true confession. Oh, may there be that desire, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, that conviction of sin and then leading to a precious Christ, that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, we thank thee for that blessed truth. Oh, may it be burnt in our hearts. May our hopes be founded on that foundation, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy beloved Son, for that finished work, for his glories, his merits. Oh, may one and another be given a hope, a little hope this day, that they too are found amongst his dear children. Be with those seeking, longing souls. Thou knowest, Lord, where and who they are. Oh, do reach out thy hand this day. And, Lord, draw them to thee. As Noah pulled a dove into the ark, may there be that pulling in. Draw us, Lord, unto thee. We depend on thee for everything. We cannot venture, Lord, in our own strength. And this poor sinner in the pulpit cannot speak a word unless thou dost supply. And Lord, the poor hearers in the pew cannot hear unless thou dost come and open their ears and apply thy word. May the Holy Spirit be that blessed applicator. May it be the application of the word. May there be a meeting of heaven and earth this day. May one and another hear the voice of their beloved. Oh, may he come leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Thou knowest, Lord, the mountains before one and another. Lord, we know not the circumstances, but thou knowest. Oh, do grant, Lord, and enable a looking up unto thee. And may we rest knowing that thou art on the throne, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, to know and feel it, that he careth for you. Oh, we desire these living things, these real things. Oh, give us that real religion. May it be known and felt. No, not just in the knowledge of the letter, but in the workings out in our lives. May we live out and live the precious promises in thy word. May they be applied to us in our hearts and our lives. Oh, may there be a certainly I will be with thee. Those, Lord, seeking direction. Those, Lord, who have been enabled to cast all on thee. May there be a token for good, a helping along the way. Maybe a bench to rest on in their pilgrimage.
Oh, but thou knowest, Lord, what thy word must accomplish this day. And thou hast brought us into thy house. We pray that there may be eternal things, lasting things, something that remains as we leave this day. May our hearts burn within us. Lord, one and another who have known their hearts to burn within them. Oh, and maybe it's many years ago, but remember us, Lord. For who else can we go? We're back, Lord, with the same desires and sins, but Lord, we've nowhere else to go. Then do, Lord, hear and answer our poor prayers. Be with any, Lord, who are in affliction's pathway. Lord, those with long drawn out trials and difficulties. Those, Lord, with a difficult tomorrow or next week, those fearful of the unknown way. Oh, then may thy word be that help they need. We pray, Lord, for the young people. We would remember them, Lord, growing up in this evil day in which we live, that thou remember them and help them day by day. May their eyes be turned off from the evil of the world. May they be drawn by thee. Oh, set our affections on things above. May we not be swallowed up with the things of this life, though right and lawful, but Lord, may we not be too busy. Oh, how Satan seeks to busy us with daily things. Oh, then do help us, give us that time, Lord, that seems to be snatched away. And as we gather in thy courts, and as we seek to privately read thy word and pray unto thee, may Satan be kept from our thoughts. How he longs and seeks to come in and disrupt our minds, but may we maybe shut out from this house and shut us in with thee. Oh, may our religious hours be left free from thoughts of tomorrow and next week and last week. May our thoughts be lifted above inferior things. And we've sought, Lord, ourselves often to push our thoughts heavenward. And we've proved, Lord, that we can't. Oh, that thou wouldst come and do all that we need. Undertake for us, Lord, we pray. Be with any who are oppressed, any that are cast down. Oh, any that are feeling the buffeting and tempting of Satan. May they look unto thee. May they view thee. Oh, and we thank thee that thou canst succour us in our temptations. We thank thee that we have that great and glorious high priest sat on the Father's right hand. And even this morning, let us hear and answer prayer. And just take his people's prayers and perfume them and make them acceptable to the Father. Oh, that we may know that high priest. Oh, may he lay one hand on the Father's throne and one hand on a poor sinner here and there. Oh, to be made nigh by the blood of Christ. But Lord, we do pray for the young growing up and parents looking after children. Grant wisdom and grace and, oh, that we may walk worthy of our profession. For Lord, we've each professed thy name in coming into thy house. The world looking on this morning, seeing us entering into thy house. They know not, Lord, those who have openly testifying, but Lord, there is that witness. Oh, may we not bring reproach on thy name. Oh, that thou wouldst remember us. Oh, that thou wouldst forgive our many, many sins. Oh, that we may not be ashamed of thee. Oh, we dread, Lord, that persecution that we hear of in foreign lands, those suffering in thy name, hardship and persecution, the loss of property and life. Be with them, Lord, and help them to stand firm. And if called to walk that pathway ourselves, may we be kept. Oh, may we not be ashamed. Oh, and that thou wilt not be ashamed of us in that great day which lies before each one of us. Oh, to be found ready and right. Prepare each soul, we pray. May each soul that gathers week by week in this place be precious in thy sight. Remember those, Lord, who may have left. If there are those prodigals, Lord, oh, do bring them back. Oh, the honour and glory to thy name in returning prodigals. For returning prodigals shall find that though they're base, the Father's kind. Oh, then do come and appear for us each. May we see thee this day. May there be those who have come with an expectation, a need, a want, a desire, some hard thing they cannot manage. Oh, may they go away not empty, but with a crumb, with a token, with a blessing. Oh, do us good, we pray. We are unworthy of the least of thy mercies, but we come on mercy's ground, and we ask all, not for our sake, but in the name and for the sake of our Lord and Master, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We ask in his name alone. Amen.
Hymn 755. Forgiveness, 'tis a joyful sound to malefactors doomed to die. Lord, may this bliss in me be found. May I redeeming grace enjoy. Hymn 755.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we read, Genesis chapter 24. With the Lord's help, this morning I'll speak to you from verses 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 24, verses 26 and 27. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. We read the beginning of this chapter, the account concerning the servant charged with that weighty charge to go and find a suitable wife for his master Isaac. And we read the way the servant went about it. And we read the meeting between the servant and this future bride. And if we were to read on to the end of the chapter, we would read the conclusion of the account. Isaac and Rebekah meeting and marrying. What a solemn thing. What a weighty matter was laid upon this dear servant, wasn't it? He was charged with finding and bringing back a suitable bride for Isaac. There was a specific charge given to him by Abraham that it must not be from among the Canaanites, but he was to return to the land where Abraham, under the commandment of God, had left. He was to return and find Abraham's brethren and to take a wife from among them. And, beloved friends, when we read this account, isn't it a beautiful account? But as we read it, we see Abraham's faith. We see Abraham's trust. I mean, it was a massive thing he laid upon his servant. I mean, you think of it. What if someone asks you to go and find a suitable wife for their son? You're to travel, and we must bear in mind that he wouldn't have had a photograph or a picture of Isaac. He was to go and find him, and well mighty, and you can understand him, can't you, this servant, well mighty have had that fear, peradventure, the woman will not be willing. Well, wouldn't it would have crossed your mind and mine, I'm sure. Well, maybe if I find someone, how will I know she's suitable? But it's for life. It's marriage for life. And is she suitable? And will she be willing to come? I can't show him what my master looks like. I've no photograph to take. It's a long journey I've got to go in. People have put this journey at 17 days travel. There's a long way he went into a strange land. What a massive burden. What a huge task. And Abraham, with the faith the knowledge that the Lord God, omnipotent, reigning, that the promise given to him by the Lord God of heaven, he was enabled to send his servant away with the faith that the Lord would provide. The Lord having provided in so many ways, the Lord having thus far in Abraham's life remained faithful to his promise. And here Abraham sends him away with that command, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and that's it. The Lord God of heaven, who has brought me safely through hitherto to this day, this Lord God of heaven, who has ever been faithful and mindful of his covenant, it's in his hands he placed his servant. And we see the grace and the tenderness in Abraham. He'd asked his servant to do a great thing. And Abraham's faith was great. But he couldn't assume that his servant's faith was as great as his. So in love to his servant, he eases his fear. And he says, if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of the oath. Well, this is not unbelief on the part of Abraham. Oh, this is his love to his servant. He doesn't want to overburden his servant. He can't assume that his servant has the same degree of faith as him. His faith is strong. He trusted in God. But what love is shown, what grace in sending his servant away, easing his fears, that if she's not willing, then he's free, he's clear from his oath. And as we read on, we do well to take notice, beloved friends, of the way the servant dealt with this great weighty matter laying on him. We do well to notice his prayer. He asked for specific things. You know, Satan often tempts us, doesn't he? He often tells us to not ask for things specific. He almost, you, if you're anything like me, will know a little of this. You know, you're asking for something great, but you almost prepare yourself for it not to happen. You almost prepare yourself to be disappointed. As you're praying, you're frightened by Satan to ask for a specific sign, for a specific leading, a specific token. Oh, but to have this spirit of true prayer, you know, what a weighty matter. And one and another here, maybe you have a weighty matter. You have a burden that's laying heavy upon you. Maybe providential. Maybe there's something and you want the Lord to clearly direct you. Beloved friends, ask him. Ask him. Ask him to lead you clearly. Ask him to clearly open a door. Ask him to close a door if it's wrong. And don't take it. Don't let Satan tell you that the door shut is unanswered prayer. Beloved friend, it's answered prayer. You see, if we're seeking to walk in the fear of God, if we daren't take a single step without his guidance, if you daren't trust your own wisdom and your own arm of flesh, and you lay it before the Lord, and if thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. You have to be prepared for him not to carry you up hence. You have to be prepared.
Oh, that we may be submissive to his will, to know that a door shut is answered prayer. Lord, shut the door if it's wrong. Lord, I don't want to venture, no matter how right it seems to me, unless I know that thou art with me. Oh, to be submissive, to be humble before him, to be made willing if he opens a door. You see, the servant here, he asks specific things. He could have gone into that city. He could have asked around for Abraham's relatives. He could have picked someone that he thought most suitable. He could have asked them all the suitable virgins of his master's brethren's house. He could have made his own selection, and he could have gone on his way. But you see, he saw the importance of it. This matter was more than he could manage. How could he manage it to seek a suitable partner in life for his master's son? Isaac was his master, for his own master. How could he choose someone suitable, take them on this long journey away from their family forever? And how could he find someone who would be a suitable partner in life? He didn't know them any. He had no idea who they were, what their character was like, how suitable they were as a match for his master Isaac. And it was for life, commitment of marriage. What a burden. The more we think of that dear servant, we see what a weighty matter he had. Maybe you have a weighty matter before you that you're seeking guidance with. Well, beloved friends, we must take notice of this dear servant. What does he do? Why, he makes his camels to kneel down, and he lays it all before the Lord. Oh, and he pleads that the Lord will remember his master. He prays that the Lord will remember his dear master, and how faithful his master is, and how faithful his master has been in sending him on this journey. And he pleads that the Lord will appear for him, and he even lays down, and he's not in a wrong way drawing lines down and asking the Lord to walk between them, but seeking in a right way a clear guidance in this such a weighty matter. He asks for these specific things, that as the women come out that to draw water, that he will be led to walk up to one and ask for water, and that she'll be willing to give, and then she'll be willing, having seen that he's 10 camels with him, to go and draw water also. He's asking a lot, isn't he? I mean, we won't go into how much these camels drink and all that goes on with that, but he's asking clear tokens. Oh, he wants the Lord to show him a token. Oh, that the Lord will show him that the door is opening. And he, not only that, but this woman, he's not after the water, really. He's after more. He wants this woman who does this for him to be from his master's brethren's house, and he wants her to be the appointed one. He wants her to be the one that the Lord has prepared, and he wants her to be willing to leave all her own household, and he wants her to be both acceptable in the sight of Isaac, and for her to
see an attraction in his master. And with that prayer, he ventures. And do you know what this is, where the servant says, he says, and it came to pass, that the word here says, and it came to pass before he had done speaking. And as you read on in his account, as he relays the events back to Laban and the household, he says, before I was done speaking, Rebecca came out. Before he'd even finished praying, that the Lord appeared. Have you ever felt that? You've been seeking to lay it all before the Lord, and almost before you finish praying, there seems to be a door opened, or the Lord has spoken, and a word comes into your mind. I've set before thee an open door, and you think, hang on, I haven't really finished laying it before thee. And it comes again, I've set before thee an open door. And oh, that appearing of the Lord, it's a wonderful, wonderful event in a life of the Lord's people, when they can look at the Lord working. It's a marvellous thing to behold his working. He works in a way that is above what we can even ask and think. He answers abundantly our prayers, above all that we can ask and think. But he moves in such a way that he orders all things perfectly. Oh, his work is perfection. The events. I mean, Rebecca's there. She's already coming. And she's the right one. What a beautiful bringing together. Only the Lord can enable these things to happen. This wasn't a chance meeting. This wasn't a chance meeting. This is one of God's appointments. This was a day which the Lord has made. And there was much rejoicing. Here in our word this morning, we have the honour and glory being given to Almighty God. This dear servant here knew what it was to truly thank and worship God. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. What had brought that about? Well, she had performed those things according to his desire in prayer. But more than that. You see, she was the right one. She was the right one. He asks, whose daughter art thou? Oh, what a question. He's wondering. He's waiting to see if the Lord's prospered his way. The door seems to be opening. But he's got to ask that question. Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she says, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she says, moreover, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And he bows down his head and worships the Lord. Oh, do you know what that is? It is the Lord clearly opens a door, as he may clearly shut a door, but as he clearly answers your prayer. Do you know what it is to bow down your head and worship him? Oh, what am I that thou takest notice of me? Oh, you're brought into realization that you've had the ear of Almighty God. You're brought into a realization that despite all your sins and failings, he's heard your prayer. You have to bow down and worship him. That he bothers to notice you. He's been bothered to notice you. A worm of this earth. And Almighty God has clearly answered your prayer. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. You see, he's thanking the Lord. He's thanking him and praising him. Oh, he sees the faithfulness of Abraham's God. And, oh, beloved friends, he's brought into realization that the prayer's been heard and answered, that he's offered up. It's a realization that his Abraham's Lord and Master is faithful to his word, faithful to his servant Abraham, but, oh, I being in the way. Now it's personal. I being in the way. I'm the one here walking out this path. I being in the way. I having laid it all at the feet of Almighty God. I being in the way. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Well, this servant, he had a great mountain before him. And under the influence of Almighty God, he is enabled to lay it all before Almighty God, seeking the Lord would appear and answer his prayer. And him being in the way, being made willing to walk it, being faithful in obedient servant to his master, I being in the way that the Lord had directed him, despite all his fears, despite how impossible a situation seemed, travelling off for such a long distance, the Lord bringing him right to the very point, right to fulfill that desire of his master. And beloved friends, what a mercy this morning if there's one and another here. There's a Rebecca who has come to draw water. You see, Rebecca, it wasn't the first time she had been to this well to draw water. I'm sure she would have been many times, if not daily, but many times she would have come. She was a young lady, unmarried, and in Bible times, what a weight upon a young a lady, the need really to be married. There's no social security, there's no welfare state. Well, her desires have been to find a suitable partner in life, and here she is. She's going to the well, as she has done on many other occasions. And yet this is a day which the Lord has made. This is a day that she'll never forget. This is a day where her life is changed forever. This is a day that all things in her life are turned upside down. It's a wonderful day. Oh, and as she goes to draw water, is there any who have come this morning? You've come many times. And you've come to draw water. And you've drawn water from here. There's a spring of living water in this pulpit. And you've come and you've tasted of it. Oh, but there's something more. There's a burden on you. There's a need, there's a desire. And you haven't had it met yet. And then there's a servant. And the servant he's come. And he's a burden. And the two meet. There's that one who's come to seek and draw water.
And she's come with a burden, and there's a servant. And he's come. And he's been sent. He's been sent by his master. And he's come to seek a bride for his master. And though she feels unworthy, though she feels to be unacceptable, though these things would have crossed Rebecca's mind, wouldn't they? As the purpose of the journey is of the servant is unfolded to her. He's come to seek a bride, a suitable bride for his dear master. Oh, and when she sees those things that he's brought, and as she hears him speak of his master, there's a going out after him. There's a longing. There's a love. There's something kindled in our heart. And we won't, there's no need to over-spiritualize anything in this account, is there? There's no need to go into the bracelets and the earring, but beloved friends, there are these tokens. He's brought tokens with him. He can't show his master's face. Oh, but he can talk of him. He can speak of him. He can speak a little of his grandeur. He can speak a little of his beauty. He can speak a little of his watchful care, his tenderness, his compassion, his love. He can speak of the things he has made, touching the king. His heart's inditing a good matter. And he brings these gifts. He says, look, here. And he gives her these tokens. These jewels. And it's all pointing. It's all pointing to Christ, isn't it? Oh, it's pointing to the Master. And as a minister, a gospel, faithful gospel minister comes, doesn't he point to Christ as the sinner's only hope? And what tokens does he bring with him? Oh, he brings you a token of his love, the love of his master. How loving he is, how tender his heart is. Oh, what compassion he has. What beauties there are in him. And he speaks of the Lord. And as this servant spoke of his master, and as he gave her these tokens, why didn't her heart go out after him? And you know, beloved friends, it's this, isn't it? I being in the way. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Well, beloved friends, the Lord's led me as his servant into this house this day. And this is the house of my master's brethren. There's some brethren of my master here. And I'm in the way this morning. And I've been brought here by my master, sent. Oh, and I've come to speak of my master. You know, that when Rebecca saw him, I'm sure she thought, why, you didn't tell me really how beautiful he was. Oh, you didn't really show how beautiful he was. You didn't describe him that well. He's far better in appearance than you said. Poor servant, how can he speak? How can anyone speak well of such a man? Oh, how can the master, the servant speak well of his master? Oh, you beloved friends, to view him, to see him face to face. Oh, but these tokens. Is there anyone? Are there those here who have come with a desire? Oh, show me a token, Lord, for good. Oh, give me a hope that I'm one of thine. You know, she would have felt her inability. She would have felt her poverty. She would have felt unworthy hearing of her master and his beauty, his grandeur, his love. And why me? Why choose me? Why come to me? I've nothing. Oh, and as you read the account, how the dear servant, you know, as Laban and her mother's house, they say, we cannot speak either good or bad, and they say that they give him the dear servant permission to take Rebecca with him. That night, doesn't he? He brings out more glorious things. We read here, if you read on, and a servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and he gave them to Rebecca. You see, her robes, her clothes may be filthy. Oh, what will he think when he sees me? Wilt thou go with this man? I will go, but will he be disappointed with me? When he sees me, what disappointment will he see in me? But there's a robe provided. The master sent a robe. The master sent raiment. Oh, and there's a raiment for his beloved bride. And the master has prepared a garment. And though his bride comes in all her filthiness and in all her rags, yet he's provided a raiment. And he will clothe her with that raiment. And when she stands before him, he views his dear bride through his righteousness, that glorious robe of righteousness. Oh, and he sees all his jewels adorned on his bride, those things he's given her. He's taken away all of her own things. And she stands arrayed in his jewels and in his raiment. Oh, beloved friends, the supply of every need. Oh, there's no fear. There's no need for that bride to be fearful. Oh, she loves him. But she says, will he love me? She's heard of him with the hearing of her ear, but will he love me? Will he love me? Oh, to know, to hear the voice, to hear one of these jewels, that we love him because he first loved us. Oh, that's a bracelet for your hand, isn't it, this morning? Those of you can't claim much. You haven't got a lot, but you love the name of Jesus. And as the servant speaking of his master, you love the sound of this master. When he speaks of the dear Lord Jesus, oh, your heart goes out after him. Oh, that I may be found in him, so I may know him. You hear of him, but you want to know him personally. You want to be found in him, found in his house. But you have this love, and you can't deny it. You may not have much, but you can't. Satan can't rob you of that. There is, this name of Jesus is sweet to you. Oh, and you love to hear, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And you might not be able to claim such grandeur as being his people, but oh, you love that. And you love to hear that this man sitteth and eateth with sinners. Oh, you love to hear that. And you love to hear how he's the friend of sinners. And you love to hear, he says, come unto me, all ye that labour, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you love to hear you love to hear of this dear man and what he did for poor, needy sinners, guilty, worthless sinners. Oh, you love to be reminded that it's for the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need. And you say, well, I feel to be the vilest, but I have a need. Am I living to feel a need? Oh, I see that day before me. The Lord has shown me a day that is fast hastening on. And he's shown me that I'm not right. And I'm not ready. And you do well to remember that it is him who's shown you. You know, it's a mercy. If the Lord has begun that work, that convincing of sin. Oh, and you may not have any more than the conviction of sin this morning. Oh, but to see it's the hand of a master, a loving master. And it's a hand of a master who's drawing one of his children with weeping and with supplications. Will I lead them? You say this morning, I am weeping. I've got many supplications. Oh, and it's the drawings. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Well, there's another bracelet, isn't there? I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And those things in your life, those perplexities, those trials, those things that almost broke you, those things that almost drove you away and destroyed you, it all beautifully fits into place. Why? It's the Lord drawing me, not pushing me away. It's in love, it's not in anger. It's in mercy, it's not in wrath. The Lord is dealing with me as a son and a daughter, as a child. He's not dealing with me as a castaway. He has not passed me by. He's come right where I am. Though it feels like he's passing me by, he's smiting me with a rod. He's chastising me. Oh, to see it's the Father's hand. Oh, to see it's the Father's will. And it's the love of the Father. And what do we read in the Gospel according to John? For the Father himself loveth you. Oh, to know that the Father himself loveth you. And though you will come before him in all your filthiness, though you've that great day before you, and it's how will I do in the swellings of Jordan? And though you may have had a token that the Lord has loved you, yet you still see this day before you as a day of fear. You haven't got that calmness, that peace that you want. Will he turn me away? Will he reject me? Oh, beloved friends, he cannot. Whom he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. Though he may hide his face, though he may veil it, though he may hide his face behind the clouds, yet he'll never leave you. He says, I will never leave you. Nor forsake. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, he will ever be mindful of his covenant. He cannot pick up a sinner, love him a moment, and then drop him. He cannot begin loving someone and then find they're too disappointing for him and turn him out. He knows just what you are and what I am. Painful that thought is to us, that he knows us in all our wretchedness and filthiness. He knows it. Oh, and to see his hand reaching out. Oh, that the servant coming this morning to the well with tokens from his master, speaking of this glorious master. There may be that answer of the servant's prayer. That there may be that Rebecca. There may be the bride of Christ, who have also come, who have also been praying, been seeking, have also come with a need, come with a desire, come expecting. You know, both will not be disappointed. Oh, she will not be disappointed when she meets him. You know, the tokens the servant gave her, oh, they're nothing compared to when she meets him. They're nothing compared with the love of the master. Oh, they're nothing compared with the embrace of the master. Oh, to fall into his arms, to know those everlasting arms, to have the master take him, his bride, by the right hand. Oh, and there's a fear not. Oh, and to see the master smile as he looks upon the bride. She's a fear. Will he be disappointed in me? Maybe she's a fear. Will I be disappointed with him? As the servant oversold. As the servant exaggerated. Oh, beloved friends, we may exaggerate concerning a man, but we cannot. Oh, we cannot exaggerate when speaking of a blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we cannot, to use a modern expression, oversell the Lord Jesus Christ. He is more than we can comprehend. His love is greater than any of our sins. Though our transgressions may mount into the biggest mountain, yet his love overcomes them all. You know, your depths of sin are no match for his majesty and his glory and his love. Your sinful heart is not a match for his love. Oh, his love, it passes all understanding. You'll be ever seeking to understand this love. A poor sinner goes from let there be room to Lord, why me? A poor sinner who goes with a seeking, longing soul, burdened, bowed down with sin, feeling to be, as we sung in the first hymn, a leper, full and unclean, vile, the lowest of the low. Yet when the Lord smiles and speaks a word and says, yeah, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, why, it is uncomprehendable to him or to her. She says, me? Really? A sinner like me? I'm nothing like I should be. You're not. And neither am I. But he is. He is. And he knows our failings and shortcomings. And it's the reason. It's for our failings and shortcomings, that the failings and shortcomings of his dear people, that moved him to leave heaven above and to come and dwell among sinners, to live a life they couldn't live. He knew they couldn't fulfill the law, and he left his radiant throne on high and left the bright realms of bliss to come to earth to bleed and die. Was ever love like this? You can't point me to a love greater than that. My master's love, it knows no end. Oh, it's not bound. And he ever makes us marvel at his choice of people. You know, when I look at myself, I have to say, why me? I marvel at his sovereign will and love. Well, why he would choose such a wretch, such a worm? But we have to leave that. Oh, we have to leave it, don't we?
He's almighty. He knows his people. And you may be tempted, am I really one of his? Your feelings are all over the place. Beloved friends, my master changes not. You may love yesterday and not today. You may be hot one minute and cold the next. My master, his love is unchanging. It's unchanging. He's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. And my master's faithful to his word. And though they may be backsliding, though they may be unable to comprehend his love, yet he overcomes all that. Oh, despite themselves, in spite of themselves, he seeks them out. His word this morning seeks them out. He finds the Rebecca amongst the women of the city. And he brings her to the well, and he makes the meeting place. And he does it all so beautifully and wonderfully. And he never misses one out. And he will never leave one out of his dear people. He can't. He's faithful. Faithful to his word. And nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, beloved friends, what a mercy. He knows them that are his. Though they don't know him, he knows them. Oh, that he may seek one and another out, that he may bring them into a knowledge of himself. And then at that great day, oh, to behold the King in his beauty. What a marvel that will be, to be found looking on him. There's no cloud between. We have the eye of faith at present. Oh, to have the eye of sight. Him who having not seen, ye love. That's a description of the bride of Christ. It's a description of Rebecca, isn't it? Him who having not seen, we love. Oh, we walk by faith and not by sight. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren.
Willing, Mr. Parrish will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening. And God willing, Mr. Ramsbottom will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school and present the prizes. Let us close with part of hymn number 827. We'll omit verse 2. This hymn is usually sung at the Lord's Supper. Suffering Saviour, Lamb of God, how hast thou been used with the Almighty's wrathful rod, soul and body bruised? Hymn 827, omitting verse 2.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.